Scripture passage today that I'll be looking at is Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. We'll also be referring to Philippians 4, 4 through 9 that Kyle read earlier. Our series is looking at calling Jesus Lord, and what that means is, and Jesus says, first of all, it means doing the will of the Father. And so as we seek to be people who do the will of the Father, so that when we call upon Jesus as Lord, it's genuine. There's different aspects of our lives that we've been focusing on. Today, it's daily peace, which is a contrast to anxiety or fear, worrying. And I think it's something that we all deal with to some extent. We just can't seem to escape it. It's part of caring, isn't it? We care about people, we care about issues, and we're going to then be concerned, and a proper concern, a healthy concern is good, but it's when those concerns move over further and become unhealthy, and clear on the far extreme of that is sort of a paralysis where we're just kind of immobilized in life. We just can't do much. We're consumed by the anxiety. But usually we're not there. We're someplace further over near the concern, but we're still worrying. And God knows that. And that's why throughout Scripture there are some references to worrying and to peace. God wants us to find peace in Him. And so Jesus has some things, and so does Paul, to lead us in that direction. To do the will of God means that we trust in Jesus and that He is Lord. And that means that He is Lord today, right now. We trust Him this moment, but we also trust in Him for an hour from now, for tomorrow, for the next day, and for the next few years out there. There's that future element of faith, and we can call that hope. We place our hope in God, and the things that begin to attack that hope and our future faith, the things that do that are those concerns that loom large and start to become an anxiety. That's one of the places where Satan can attack. And so when we do that, what's happening is our focus on the lordship of Jesus is being challenged. And if that anxiety is growing, our trust in the lordship of Jesus is diminishing. Well, let's take a look at this passage in Matthew. This is Jesus speaking. It's in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount. And Sermon on the Mount is a representation of Jesus' teachings. It was given at one time to people, but it was given more than just once. He taught people in all the towns he went to, and probably had a very similar message because the needs were the same. And here he talks about the anxieties of life, and he says this in Matthew 6, beginning at verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Well, as we want to be people who live at peace and with peace, and peace is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, we have the peace of God. It's if the Spirit is working within us, we're feeling more of God's peace. And how do we do this? So we're looking at what Jesus has to say. And one of the first things that just jumps out at me is understanding things, seeing them through God's perspective. I wear glasses, some of you do too. Without my glasses, you're all quite blurry right now. I put them on and you come into focus. We go through life, looking at life, kind of just through our own lens. And we just see life that way. It's natural. God calls us to essentially put on his lens. We can call that the lens of grace or the gospel or faith, whatever word we want to put to that. But God calls us to be able to look at the world through his perspective. And when we do that, life takes on a whole new dimension. One of the things that we see is this last verse, verse 34, where it says that sufficient for today is its own trouble. Jesus is acknowledging that each day is going to have its own trouble, just the way life is. Now, he was speaking to people who, for the most part, were quite poor, and each day was a struggle. So they were concerned about the basic necessities of life, what they would eat, what they would drink, what they would put on their bodies. And so every day was a struggle. Life is still the same. It's still a struggle. We live in a time and in a culture where we're at relative ease. We really have it easy compared to most of the world and to most of history. Yet we don't always see that because we're not using the lens of God to see. A few years back, I read a book by M. Scott Peck, The Road Less Traveled, and you know, reading the first sentence was worth everything for the book. And it's basically, it's just, and here he's a psychiatrist who dealt with a lot of people and then kind of started to meditate on life and think about life and didn't just see patients but started to put things into a bigger perspective. And he starts off the book by saying life is difficult. Once we acknowledge that, it starts to become less difficult. So it's putting on the lens of God, of saying expect trouble, expect suffering, expect life to be difficult. And when we have that perspective, then it really does start to become less difficult. We see it as normal, not something that's out of the ordinary and it's just happening to me. Or it's happening to us and not to other people out there. So we begin to see it as common. A few years ago, as we were going through our transition, and I had this pastoral concern for our church, and I let that concern become more of an anxiety, and it built up. But the thing that I kept trying to do was to put on that lens of God and to say, look at things through the perspective of God. There's a bigger picture than what Ron Ganzer sees. There's a bigger picture in what God is doing. And I don't always understand it. I'm not going to understand it. But I can trust in God. And so have that bigger picture. We also want to weigh what is of greatest importance. For people who are living day to day with just barely enough food to get by, so Jesus was talking to, or maybe they had a little bit of supply, but life was hard. That was an important thing for them, and they were concerned not only for themselves, but for their children and grandchildren. What parent wouldn't be concerned about that and be a little bit anxious if the cupboard is bare? But Jesus wants them to see the bigger picture and to see what's of most importance for their lives. He doesn't deny the importance of that. He just simply says, here's what's of more importance. Seek first the kingdom of God. So we want to have that perspective. Seeking God, knowing God, letting God into our lives, that's what's most important. And then things begin to fall into place. Not that the troubles are completely taken away, because God often has a purpose for the adversity. So we try to say, what is of most importance here? And that's part of the perspective. You know that we're wrestling as parents, Peggy and I, with what our son is going through right now. And some of you have had similar things with sons or grandchildren or nieces or nephews. It's not uncommon. We're not the only ones going through this. Some people have had worse things going on in their lives. Perspective is helpful. I mentioned that Peggy and I are able to walk through this easier. We're trusting in God more on a day-to-day basis because of some previous experience. So we've kind of learned our lesson. The 2x4 has hit us over the head enough times. So we can say, okay, God, this time I'm going to trust in you. But I remember texting Peggy when the shootings took place in Roseburg and just texting and saying, have you seen the news? Things can always be worse. Because what we're dealing with was nothing compared to some parents that were getting the news that their student, their child, that was they thought was safe on a campus in Oregon, was killed that day, brutally murdered. There are always things out there that are worse. And so sometimes understanding that and then praying for those situations, those people, and having a sympathy for them, a heart for them, but it brings us back into that understanding of what's truly important in life and what our perspective is. And then it brings us in this perspective as an understanding that we're not in control. We don't have the power to change things. Sometimes we think we do. We get lulled into this feeling that life is going good and I've got the resources or I have the position. So, you know, power and money can give us the illusion that we can control certain things in our lives. And we can't at all. And understanding that, again, is that perspective of God. Understanding that brings us actually into a freedom that I don't have to bear that full responsibility. I can't be the one that goes about and changes things. Whatever it is that is causing that anxiety right now in my life, I do not have the power to change it, but God does. God can change the circumstance or he can change us. That's the way God works. And usually, not always, but usually God is working to change us. He can change circumstances too. One of the most powerful images, I think, of God giving us comfort, which is peace, is in Psalm 23. And in it is not a deliverance from the difficult times, but is a God who walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. For God, you are with me, your rod and your staff, the tools of protection and the tools that guide us. God, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So through the valley of the shadow of death, which is basically saying, God, when I'm in the midst of adversity, they can create anxiety within me. You are there with your tools, whatever they might be, to show that you are a God who gives comfort and peace and hope. So that's what God is doing. God is working things within us. At times, he'll deliver us as we trust in him and he can remove situations. But perspective says also, look for what God is doing in you. So we want to see from God's perspective. The other thing this passage teaches us is an understanding of God's general grace. Now, God's specific grace comes to us through Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, but there is a general grace that God gives. And the first part of that is how God cares for and maintains his creation. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon, the richest king that Israel produced, not even he had that splendor. So there is a sense that as we look out in creation, we see the beauty of it, and we see that plants grow. Even our lawns that look dead this summer, they're green now, aren't they? God does that. We don't do that. God does it. God cares for and maintains his creation. That's a lesson for us. Looking around in creation, just seeing not only did God make it, and he's powerful, but every day God maintains it and cares for it. There's something else here that is important to understand in terms of general grace, and it is how God cares for us, but all people as well. Jesus is speaking to Jews, very distinct from Gentiles. God's chosen people, the Jews, Gentiles, and at that point, speaking that the Gentiles around them were the ones that held them in bondage, was Rome. Jesus says, for the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. And Jesus is saying, he's even providing for them, even your enemies. God provides. That's his general grace. And that general grace should cause all people to say, God must be really great. The God who made all these things and who provides everything I need to live, including the air that I breathe, and I should be drawn into a sense of dependence upon him, which is faith. So to acknowledge my dependence. So we're brought into this sense of faith. And Jesus does that by saying, look, if God clothes the grass of the field, which is just going to be consumed, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So he's just, it sounds like he's chiding the people there, but it's also an encouragement. It's an encouragement for us to say, trust in God. Look at what he does. Trust. So general grace just draws us into a view of trust God. Trust God. And Jesus puts it this way. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek God. So there's the answer for anxiety. There's for the stuff we deal with. And most of us here are probably dealing with something that's making us anxious. And again, I'll just come back and say, it's because we care. And we don't want to be people that stop caring, do we? But we don't want to be consumed by it and have it become unhealthy anxiety. But we care. So here's the answer Jesus gives. Seek the kingdom of God. And we've talked about the kingdom of God before. The kingdom of God is God's rule in our lives. Let God rule in your life. Let God, who is all-sufficient, be the one who supplies everything you need. Seek the kingdom of God. We pursue it how? By faith. Because he says, oh, you of little faith. This is how we seek the kingdom of God. It is faith. It is a trusting in the sufficiency of God for all things in our lives as we put on the lens of God and see the world through his perspective. So we want to pursue it by faith. When we come and receive at this table, it is faith. And faith is receiving a gift. It is not something that we have done ourselves. And even in the act of receiving, we're putting our hands out to receive something, showing that someone else is giving it. God is giving to us his gift of grace, and we then receive it by faith, and we pursue God through that faith, which is merely a yielding to God. Now I'm going to bounce over to the Philippians 4 passage, because that is all about the same thing. It's about the peace of God. It's about doing away with anxiety. Do not be anxious about anything, Paul says. And then verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's what God offers to us. That's what he wants us to have. I wish I had it perfectly all the time. I don't stand up here as one who does. I stand up here as one who wants it and who tries to pursue it through faith. And I think that's where we're all at, isn't it? And so God's encouragement is to receive this peace. We pursue it by faith. And here's what Paul says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So it's prayer. It's coming to God in prayer. Prayer, again, is just acknowledging God's the one who can do it. He's sufficient. I'm not. I need God. I need God's power. I need God's wisdom. I just need God's guidance. I need God in my life. So that's what prayer does. So we come with our supplications, our petitions. We're asking God specifically for something. Whatever is causing anxiety, we just bring that before God and say, God, I can't control this. What are you doing in the midst of this? I don't know what you're doing. Help me to see. Help me to understand. Help me to trust in you more. I give it over to you, God. Keep it. Too often we take it back. We're going to. So we're going to take it, give it back to God again, maybe again and again. You know what? God's big enough for that. He knows we're going to do that. That's why the Bible doesn't just once talk about anxiety and God's peace. It's over and over and over again. So we're going to ask God, and here's the thing. We ask with thanksgiving. And Paul starts that off by saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Thanksgiving and rejoicing are tied together. You can't separate the two. And both of them are an acknowledgement of the greatness of God and the gift of God and our response back to God. Just reflecting back to him, how wonderful he is. So when we're bringing our prayers, we're asking God to take away the anxiety, we're also coming back and saying, God, I'm thanking you for your work in me already. With the petition, and I have joy in you. And God, I want to have more joy. Fill me with your joy, because you're a God who can bring it. You can do something great in this. So we are asking God. Prayer is a key to seeking God's kingdom and being at peace with God. But Paul goes on to explain something even more that's important here for us. And that has to do with our mindset. And where we put our mind, or we could say our heart, where your heart is, there your treasure will be, Jesus says. Where our mind is, that's what causes us then to do and to think and to live out. And so Paul says this, finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and there is, and it's found in Jesus, if there is anything worthy of praise, and it is, it's what God is doing and who he is, think about these things. Paul is saying the path to peace, as we seek to be people of faith and bringing our petitions before God, thanking him in advance for what he is doing, seeking the joy that is in him because he is a God who acts. He says, what you need to do is have this mindset now. Don't go back and dwell on the thing that is bringing you anxiety. The concern, yes. Not the fears that arise from it. Continue to pray for that concern, the person, the issue, whatever it might be, laying it before God and saying, God, you're sufficient. But then think the thoughts that are positive and powerful. And I'm not just talking about have a happy thought and everything turns out okay. I'm talking about looking at God's promises, looking at the nature of God, thinking about these things. Whatever is true, we just grab a hold of the truth of the gospel, the truth of God's love for you, the truth of God's justice, because whatever is just, that in the end, true justice will come about. We might not see it now, but just grab a hold of that God is just. God is true. God is honorable. And God is worthy of praise. So think about God, God's attributes. Think about the gifts that God gives to you. And let those thoughts bring you into a sense of peace. And when, and I don't say if, because I think for most of us it's when those concerns start to move into an anxiety again, just remember that God loves you so much that you can just keep going back to Him and saying, God, it's too big for me. Take it back until God does. And find your peace again, and maybe again and again. Our walk with God is a daily walk or a moment-by-moment walk. But God is sufficient. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear. We will not be anxious. Why? Because God is there with everything necessary to give us His comfort and His peace. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for just the gift of life that You give to us, and how You care for us, and Your concern for our well-being, even that we can walk with You daily with a sense of peace. Lord, give us Your peace. Lord, there are some here today that are perhaps under the weight of anxiety and are calling out for Your peace. Lord, grant that. And Lord, we pray that You would guard us from anything that would just nibble away at our faith and create worry and fret. So help us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.